Hello, Blind Cool Tech listeners. Welcome to Malin's Slice of Life podcast.
This is the show for the week of November 27th, 2005. The sound you just heard, I recorded with the WS200S recorder, and they are our chimes that we have hanging in the doorway, which has no door, I guess the entrance to our kitchen. So I decided to use that tone or that sound to indicate when I'm changing topic or transitioning. That's what I should say. Can you name the tune at the beginning of the podcast? It's a blast from my Lutheran past. And I'll just leave it at that. At this point, I would just like to say that I am truly thankful for everything that I have experienced this year, culminating in finding and participating in Blind Cool Tech. What a fantastic entity, the whole thing, from the podcasts, the email. It is truly phenomenal. I have so much for which to be thankful over the past 11 months. I have learned more this year. I have listened more this year. I have experienced so many things. I have sung more. Just a whole host of activities and such a range that I couldn't even possibly begin to recount them here. But I am definitely grateful, and I'm looking forward, as always, to the holiday season. And I sincerely hope that everyone out there has experienced excitement, joy, love, and all of those great things in their lives this year. I read on the list Sabrina Markle, said that a friend of her father's passed away. And we came back from our Thanksgiving holiday to learn that three people had passed away. One, you know how it's funny how we live on, because this person, the second person I heard who passed away is the voice of something I'm going to do, a podcast I hope to upload next week. I don't want to give too much of it away, but you will hear this person's voice, and she really was a reader par excellence. And her name's Alice, and I don't even know her last name. But so it's going to be interesting hearing Alice's voice next week. But she was the second of the three people who passed away that we heard about when we got back. So we're truly grateful. That is glad, and grateful is grad or gradful. Thankful that we are among the living and enjoying life to the fullest. And hope you are all doing the same. And speaking of Thanksgiving and being grateful, well, honestly, I'm just grateful we got back safe and sound. Now, that is not to say that we didn't have a good trip or anything. It was really quite lovely. However, our transportation and our traveling was just kind of wild. It started off with my leaving late and us trying to catch a cab. And I don't know if anyone knows about catching a cab in New York City or any other city. It doesn't matter. I don't know how the cab systems are in other areas. But in New York, well, you might as well forget it at several points. And those points are basically, or times, rush hour, which seems to run, well, some would say it runs all day, but it seems to run from about, I would say, 4 till maybe 7. Now, if you throw in a holiday with, you know, into the mix, then you're really talking some fun, which is what Maria and I had, all right? But we didn't think it was fun at the time. We leave my job with bag and baggage. We're trying to catch a cab. Nothing's happening. It's cold. And we're standing there freezing. And this young man rolls up to us on a bicycle, and he wants us to help him help his girlfriend. I mean, can you believe this? Honestly. And we're standing there, and I'm watching all of these cabs go by. I don't know whether they have people in them or not, but, you know, I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm trying to help him. I could barely understand what he was saying. Then he started to speak Spanish. Maria speaks Spanish beautifully. I asked her. She said, well, she wasn't quite sure what he was trying to get across. But it seems that his girlfriend is being held hostage or something in this nursing home. And he's trying to get her into some services where she might make some more money. Or it seems like she's a domestic helper. Anyway, he went on and forth. And we are trying our best to be gracious people. And needless to say, the boy rolled away on his bicycle and didn't even ask us if we needed a cab or anything. I mean, we basically gave him some numbers and, you know, some information, and that was enough for him, and he just left us there. Well, we walked to the bus stop. We did get on a bus because we just could not catch cab. And we're talking about, if I'm not mistaken, we had to take two buses because we have to take a bus up Madison to 42nd Street and then a crosstown bus. And it's dark and it's, well, and me with my double vision, which you'd think would make it a lot lighter with all these lights, but it doesn't seem to do that. So we struggled, and of course, when we got to the Port Authority, which is on 40, well, actually, the Port Authority takes up between 40th and 42nd Street in two huge buildings, we were at the end of the line, and it was a long line, but we were willing to wait. We had about an hour wait, and from there, everything was really smooth, but I just could not believe that that child stopped us. Now, on the way back, we had a perfectly smooth ride. Everything was, the driver was doing very well. She got through there was no traffic. And even coming through the Lincoln Tunnel, which leads right to the Port Authority, there wasn't any traffic really to speak of. And this was really rare. Now, when we got onto the sidewalk in search of a cab, it just was not our weekend for these things. Again, we couldn't find one. There was no attendant. there's 9 out of 10 times we go and there's someone, okay, 8 out of 10 times. And someone's helping, you know, travelers catch cabs. Nothing. No one. Well, we tried to get one and we just couldn't. And we decided again to go up to the corner, turn left and get the bus, which is Crosstown. Again, so we would be going from 8th Avenue to Madison Avenue and then up Madison Avenue. Okay, well, that was great. Maria said, okay, Lynette, let's start off with the corner. I start off. I hear her call my name. I turn to where I believe her to be, and she is nowhere. Well, I panicked. I'm screaming her name and everything. It was very scary, you know. You're traveling with someone, you're getting lost, and people would think, but you know the city and all of this other stuff. It doesn't matter. All of that knowledge goes straight out the window. And so finally, I had an idea. You know, I had my cell phone, and I can't... Oh, cell phones, you know, what they are, a godsend. So, I call. Of course, it doesn't answer. I don't know whether her cell phone is kind of weird sometimes in that it will ring. It doesn't ring. We don't know. So I'm screaming into the phone, you got in a cab without me and blah, 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 and going on like a lunatic, literally a raving maniac. And then we did connect. And she was waiting at the corner and... She's laughing because she's probably hearing me recount this ridiculous tale. And we met up. She had two gentlemen waiting with her who saw me headed in the wrong direction, of course, and who kind of, I think one tapped me on the shoulder or something. I don't know. They got me spun around or I heard her voice or something. And we thought, you know, maybe we need a tether or something to put on or a little Velcro something, you know, when we... are trying to, you know, but then, you know what would happen? We would trip and bust our butts over it. So but she's giving me something now. No, not that you can hear from where she is, but she's talking about a rope of some sort. The runners, like the tethers that the people who are blind who run the marathon run with a tether at, you know, to their guide runner. So we definitely need something like that. It was really a harrowing, terrifying experience. I know that there are some totally blind couples out there, and it would be as if you were separated from your partner. That's, you know, so. And it's really terrifying. And but needless to say, we got back together, wiped the perspiration, you know, from my brow. I don't know if I was perspiring so much as my heart was beating and so forth. You know, honestly, I read too many books, and you just never know what's happened. Anybody can be abducted anytime, anywhere. It doesn't matter. Now, on a positive note, we were on, at least going to New Jersey, we were on one of the first and only buses of this kind that actually was able to, that had a lift, that lifted a person in a wheelchair onto the bus. And that woman actually helped us get a seat. So even with all of our trials, not being able to get a cab and being stopped by this guy, something still is cool, still happened. And the fact that there is a lift for people in wheelchairs is about time, and it's fantastic. And I hope that more buses add them so that people in wheelchairs or people on wheels can ride along with the rest of us. Because if this woman hadn't told us where there were seats, you know, I'm telling you, sighted people half the time are like deer in the headlights when they see blind people. But don't get me started on that. Okay, so that's our Thanksgiving travel log. The next voice you will hear is Ms. Sandy Dell, and she has been our reader for I want to say almost 2 years. And unfortunately, Sandy got some horrific news a few days before Thanksgiving in that her mother passed away unexpectedly. So she was one of the three people that we heard, you know, bad news about. I told her that I would be editing this reading of my work called Traveling While Blind. But, you know, in all honesty, she reads it so beautifully. Who cares about the few foibles and or mistakes or flubs? I know I don't, and I hope you don't. So the next voice you'll hear is Sandy.
Traveling while blind. I try to use effective deodorant, brush my teeth, comb my hair, match my clothes. I do not have rings in parts of my body that to some might be a bit odd. Somehow, these things just do not matter when my friends and I go out. Inevitably, I or we get on the bus and all life stops. There's a wonderful Charlie Brown moment from the movie You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, where Charlie Brown fantasizes that the appliances have come to life and are staring at him as he moves around his hotel room. Well, I can feel people staring at me or us, and it feels very creepy at times, very intense. Are we strange? Someday, I want the ovaries to stand up in front of everyone on the bus and say, "All right, put your eyeballs back in your heads. The show is over." Okay, I know there's the ubiquitous curiosity about how blind people manage, and I'm lumping us all together here for convenience. I also know, because a friend told me, that people look amazed that we actually talk and laugh and interact. Can you imagine? Blind people are just blind, are just people too. Wow. Another phenomenon is that riders will leave the entire section when there are still available seats. I have often found myself sitting alone. Thankfully, I like myself. If I'm with my friend, I might rattle off, "Do I smell?" or "It's not contagious, I promise." Most of the time, I just watch them leave and shake my head in disbelief. It was once suggested to me that since we are sitting in the section reserved for the elderly and disabled, that riders might feel uncomfortable upon our arrival. I'm not quite buying this one. During rush hour, it's every woman laden with a shopping bag for herself, and no one is reading any signs. Although I suppose there could be a grain of truth to it. Traveling as a blind person Traveling as a blind person is always an experience. You may get help when you do not need it, and when you do, no one comes to your rescue. There have been times when I have fallen and a helpful individual has come running right away to ask if I am all right. On the other hand, I made forceful contact with a telephone kiosk right outside a deli and no one so much as opened the door to offer a candy bar for my misfortune. I have to say, though, that I had on such a bulky coat that I bounced right back up, just like one of those little weeble people. Remember, weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Well, in my case, I just didn't stay down. I endured an incident where a young man grabbed my arm to hinder my progress into an unforgiving wall. Now, you're probably thinking that this was a wonderful, kind thing for him to do, and it was. But I am a woman of short stature who could probably be easily overtaken, and he scared me to death. I tried to explain this to him, but all he could think of was that he had assisted this poor blind woman, and there I was trying to instruct him in the correct way to approach someone who does not see well. He ended with a comment that if he saw me falling into the tracks, he wouldn't stop to say anything. He would just grab me again. Well, what could I say to that? Several persons who are sighted have told me that they hesitate when making the decision to assist blind people because they have been reprimanded for doing so. To this comment, I have always replied that not all blind people are created equal. There are those of us with visual impairments who have an independent, stubborn streak, and, for the most part, wish to be left alone to meander through the streets unbothered. Believe it or not, we do not know where we are going. Oh, I'm sorry, we do know where we are going. I think we do. All right. Several persons who are sighted have told me that they hesitate when making the decision to help blind people because they've been reprimanded for doing so. To this comment, I have always replied that not all blind people are created equal. There are those of us with visual impairments who have an independent, stubborn streak, and for the most part, wish to be left alone to meander through the streets unbothered. Believe it or not, we do know where we are going. Recently, I was exiting the subway when a woman shouted, "Do you know where you're going?" Of course, I felt a flash of hot resentment, but I sweetly answered that yes, I did indeed. Another memorable encounter with an immovable object occurred when I was walking, or should I say jogging, to catch a waiting train. That might be an oxymoron. With a fully sighted person when I smacked into a pillar and split my lip. So much for sighted guide techniques. I believe that these experiences have only served to hone my humor. What can you do besides laugh at our mishaps? We often do. Please do not feel sorry for us for too long, because we usually don't. Also, I have to say that I'm generally kind to those brave souls who do offer assistance. I have definitely noticed a difference between patrons of our bus system and those bedraggled strap hangers on the subways. As I enter a bus, 9 times out of 10, a rider will jump up and offer a seat. Now, there are those in the blind community who will say that they do not feel right or comfortable about taking someone else's seat. I leave them to their righteous morals. But I, however, am not that noble. If my friend is with me and only one seat is offered, I make sure she gets it. If I am alone, I sit my butt in the seat and rattle off profuse thanks. After all, I may be as pooped as the next person. I am not a lover of our subway system, but it is generally the fastest way to get from point A to point B. I do not stand too close to the platform out of sheer terror, and I tend to walk a great deal slower as the train approaches. It is indeed the rare incidence when an individual offers a seat. Usually, I get the rude stare as I stand in front of someone who is sitting. I find this interesting. Persons who are sighted see my cane, assume that I cannot see them, and proceed to glare or eyeball me as if I have absolutely no idea what they are doing. Often, I attempt to read the signs that are posted at my level, trying to affect an air of haughty disdain. This must really have them puzzled. How could I be reading? I can't see. I could not possibly write an article about traveling in New York City without mentioning our bus drivers, token booth clerks, and train conductors. They are all noteworthy for one reason or the other. As my friend and I have been traveling the same route for many years, we are generally known by most of the bus drivers, who are a genial lot. There have, of course, been a few negative experiences where we've asked drivers to announce a certain stop, and they've either forgotten or feigned laryngitis during the trip. Thankfully, I know the city fairly well, and we haven't gotten lost due to their memory lapses or illness. Token booth clerks are an entirely different breed. I do not know whether they were given instructions in dealing with persons who are blind and partially sighted, but they are generally the exact opposite of our friendly neighborhood bus drivers. They seem resentful about performing the simplest tasks, from telling you the denominations of the bills that they give to identifying themselves as you approach their booths. I had come to loathe refilling my MetroCard. I'd heard absolutely horrible stories about these individuals, but I really didn't pay much attention as I'd never experienced such treatment. Well, shame on me. I now know that these poor souls must surely hate their jobs or need a substantial raise in pay. Perhaps only then will their sour dispositions change. Until then, we all suffer in silence. Train conductors are just plain funny. Either their microphones are too low to hear or understand the next stop, or it's so loud that the message is distorted. Of course, that may also be said about the general train announcements made by the token booth clerks, but they assure us that improvements are ongoing. I am certain that every blind person has a travel story, and with today's restrictions, things are sure to become even more interesting. Security personnel are noticing white mobility canes and guide dogs more and more, wondering whether the user is going to beat someone over the head or have their dog attack some unsuspecting passenger. Ironically, as I sat here struggling with the conclusion of this article, I heard that a blind person had fallen into the subway tracks and been killed by an oncoming train. This is not the first incident of this type. A dear friend was killed in the same manner, leaving behind a spouse and 2 little boys. It causes one to remember how very dangerous or even deadly it can be to travel as persons with a visual impairment. All we can do is face each day of travel as bravely as possible, accept help when needed, and smile to ourselves when we meet the odd, unfriendly, rude individual who did not remember that there but for fortune go.
Please excuse the fumbling and rumbling and so forth, but I put that article in there because I thought it was appropriate after our traveling, adventures. Oh my goodness, I don't know if I can remember everybody, but at this point, I would like to give a shout out to, well, to the podcast people I can remember. Mary Emerson, fantastic podcasts. I'm listening to your music, your Christmas tree braille things, and we're going to, okay, that's a lie. Maria's going to try to make them. I would be here until Christmas of 2032 if I were to try. My brailing would be that slow. So, and I would have to ask Maria about every other sign anyway. So, but you do give what do you call braille letters? The 1, 2, 6, you spell them out for us. So I do thank you. I also cut and paste my podcast or copy and paste my podcast together using SoundForge just because I feel a little more comfortable with it now thanks to Kai. And Kai, I am sorry I wasn't able to get back to you but with the reading and so forth. Life just got so crazy. But your Thanksgiving intro was phenomenal. You just do extraordinary work and you should just keep it up. Now, I'm sincerely hoping I get these names right. Don Ball, I believe, did the Christmas parade. That was very cool. I especially enjoyed the bands and one in particular that was really good that just went on and on and on. I'm a big lover of percussion, and I did not hear one trumpet in the whole thing or any tubas or anything else that they have in bands, but I heard a great deal of percussion and it was great. Now, the only thing I hope is that you got your tooth fixed after you broke it on that apple. So that was pretty terrible, but I have to say that the way you handled it gave me a little bit of a snicker. So I hope you're okay after that, and thank you for your podcast. Darren Duff, I believe, gave the Savannah tour. Wonderful. That was truly unique, and it made me, you know, if we ever take a trip to Savannah, it certainly made me want to do that same kind of tour. My only criticism would be that the young man was speaking so quickly at times. And I don't always have headphones. In fact, I was listening to it through a speaker, and so it was, I wasn't getting that wonderful separation that everybody talks about all the time. But and I had to keep it relatively low, but I still enjoyed it, and it gave me a little bit of a tingle, and I have to say that I was afraid to go to the bathroom. So, but thank you for that. And also thank you for that funny podcast of you totally destroying that awful AOL CD. Good for you. We do the same thing. I don't know if we have a patio and we could actually duplicate that. We could, you know, crush it down there. We just hadn't thought of it. So, there was another, Robert Carter. Robert, I enjoyed your podcast as well, and I you know, not being in ham radio, I certainly didn't understand everything, but I certainly got some enjoyment out of it. And what I do remember is CB. And the reason I remember CB is because I went through a country music phase when I was much younger. And they had a funny song called Shirley and Squirrely, which I tried to find. And I do believe we're supposed to be these two squirrels or something in on a CB radio or something. And, of course, I guess you also remember Convoy. There was that song, Convoy. So that's what your podcast reminded me of. And those are the shout-outs for now. Just keep up the excellent work, folks. Larry Skutkan is truly interested in every facet of our lives, it seems, from the most exciting to the most mundane. Well, he threw out, very casually, something about hearing people or, you know, when you hear a female voice or, a male voice or you attribute positive, loving qualities to that person. And I thought that was very interesting. And I started thinking about it and I said, that is true. Larry, you are not alone. Believe me. I'm wondering how many blind couples out there have or fell in love with the person's voice, you know, or, you know, what they sounded like. You know, sometimes it doesn't even matter what they're saying. It's just that they say it beautifully. And you think, oh my goodness, this is it. They're my dream come true. Listen to that marvelous voice. Well, we can all relate because many of us, if not all of us, are readers, if you will. And we've listened to many voices through the years. And I know there are some voices, you know, that you say, wow, you know, that voice is sexy. Now, I have to say, I believe it was Jake who mentioned that he found the ATM sexy. and I said, all right, well, you know what? Maybe that voice is better than the voice we have at our Chase Bank. I don't think that voice is about as sexy as a potato chip. But I totally understand what you mean, Larry, about being caught up in what someone sounds like and building a fantasy around them. And I guess the problem with that is that generally the fantasy is just all wrong, and they might actually be, if not horrible people, not the people we perceived them to be. And so that would be my only thing. But I've definitely been there. And I tell you the truth, these days, some of the voices out there with these young ladies and even the young guys whose voices are so nasal and just, well, you know, I have to say they're just unpleasant. And here's where I got my comeuppance, because we went to a showing of Cinderella Described last year, and the young lady had a voice way up here. I can't even do it. Maria's laughing at me, and she was going on and forth, and all I could think is, oh my goodness, she is so sweet, but she has the worst voice. Anyway, so you know. Think about that the next time you're listening. Think about the voice. Think about the fantasy. Think about the reality. The topic of having a child guide you came up in a podcast, actually. Might have been Steve Bauer. And then Larry picked up on it, and I just wanted to throw my two cents in, because I have we have four little nieces and nephews, and the eldest of whom is 5 years old, a little girl, and she's not ready to be guiding anyone yet, although she might try. But so far, she's only guided me around the patio, and that is quite good enough. Now, when her mom was around her age, we went to a concert or a recital or something. And, of course, the intermission came, and I had to go to the ladies' room, and probably so did she. Well, she promptly marched us into the men's room. Now, I think I was slightly shocked, only because I was standing there, and she was standing there. We didn't, you know, she didn't know anything. I didn't really know anything. And I think maybe a guy turned around and grunted at us, but to this day, I have no clue what he said. So I agree with, I think it was Steve Bauer, Larry, and Jeff, who talked about, the, you know, young kids guiding. And yes, I would use my usual cane techniques, and I would have a death grip on her out in the street, but I wouldn't consider her guiding me. And I forget who it was that said that their little boy felt such a sense of power over guiding around this big person. You know, I guess that would be. But I'll wait until my little niece is a little more cooked before I allow her to guide me around. That's going to wrap up the show for this week, folks. As always, I'd like to thank Ms. Maria Rios for her spoken intro. And in terms of the music, you heard Air on a G-String, or Air for the G-String by Bach. And I believe it's Fauré's Pavane. I think it's Pavane for a Dead Princess, if I'm not mistaken, which is a really morbid title, but quite a lovely piece. This last piece of music is a MIDI file, which I converted to a wave because my SoundForge would not open it, would not play it. And I went to the website to try to identify the composer of the MIDI, but the site was interesting. It was very colorful and so forth, something about self-advocacy. But JAWS 5.0 would not read it. So what can I tell you? It is a cool piece, of course, of Winter Wonderland. As usual, you can contact us in several ways. It would be very cool if you would, you know, use the comment line, which is 206-600-6259, or the superlynn@earthlink.net email address, which is superlynne@earthlink.net, or contact me through the Blind Cool Tech email list. So I look forward to next week. I have an interview / demonstration set up of what I think is a very cool product, and I won't say anything more. Remember, if you know the name of the piece I played at the very beginning of the podcast, please contact me. Okay? You can also contact Maria. I won't give out her email address until she says yes. But, so that's all for now, folks. Enjoy. We're supposed to have some wintry weather, which is why I picked Winter Wonderland, because we've had some relatively mild weather, and it's going to be in the 40s from now on, supposedly. And then before we know it, winter will be upon us. So take care, and I hope to be getting next week's podcast up next week. All right, everybody. Ciao, and enjoy.